evening, and this is Calvin Hammond in From the Front Line. Tonight's topic, UN deception operation targets Africa for abortion. Now, this is a current situation that's been happening in South Africa, and it definitely falls under the whole newspeak, propaganda, doublethink, deception operation, you could say.
Yes, so here's this article. Abortion is healthcare. This makes it a human right. And this was published in the Daily Maverick, 14th of August, and by a Taleng Mofokeng, who is described as a United Nations Commission on Human Rights Special Rapporteur for Physical and Mental Health. That's a long title. Wow, what a job description. Anyway, so this Daily Maverick article identifies the article as first published in Section 27's Abortion in Eastern and Southern Africa publication. Wow, I mean, that's a mouthful. Everything in the UN is a mouthful. It's like an alphabet soup. But what we're seeing here is an excellent example of a deception operation. What we're seeing here is what we've been talking about in the last few weeks of weaponizing words, doublethink, newspeak, all of that. So the UN is attempting to promote abortion in Africa as a healthcare human right. And for deceptive terminology, this is kind of hard to beat.
And what about the fact that it seems to be disinformation and distortion? You know, if we look at George Orwell's 1984, it seems like it's quite apparent, even in today's world. And if we look at the fact that the Ministry of Truth is dealing in lies and disinformation and propaganda, Ministry of Peace is waging war, etc., how can people look to the UN as a helpful institute?
Well, I think if people don't know the UN and haven't seen them in action, they might think that, but I used to think the United Nations were the good guys. When I was young at primary school, one of the most popular films at the time was The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And U.N.C.L.E. was short for the UN. And you had this Russian secret agent, this American secret agent. They were working together to keep the world safe for democracy. I mean, the Soviet Union was the worst dictatorship on the planet at that time. But we didn't seem to think that. And we were getting, you know, toys and watching these great films. It's like a James Bond type thing, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And I thought the UN were the good guys. But at school, I had youngsters who had come from the Congo, who had fled the Congo, where the UN, they said, had bombed their church, their schools, their hospitals, marketplaces, looted their possessions when they were trying to flee into northern Rhodesia across the border from the Congo. And they said, the United Nations aren't the good guys, they're the bad guys. And I remember this being, as a young boy, a bit disconcerting. I was about 6 or 7. It's like, wait a minute, they're the heroes on a big screen, but the kid in this desk next to me is telling me they're the ones who bombed, burned, stole, looted. And it's very hard to put together because I think it's the first time that I ever was challenged to think that real life, spelled R-E-E-L on the screen, isn't the same as real life, R-E-A-L. And yes, I've discovered that the United Nations is a problem. I've seen them in operation in Rwanda, where they prepared the way for the Holocaust in Rwanda and did nothing to help the people in their bases, literally even handed over thousands of Tutsi Christians to the mass murdering Interahamwe mass murderers. People who'd fled to them for protection, they handed over to the people who chopped them pieces within sight of them. And this isn't just hearsay. I'm talking about first-hand eyewitness documentation in my book, Holocaust in Rwanda. And if people don't want to take my word for it, and the hundreds of people interviewed, they can take the word of the UN commander of UNIMIR, the United Nations Peacekeeping Operation Rwanda, General Romeo Dallaire. He's the commanding officer of the UN operation.
He even wrote a book on it, didn't he?
Shake Hands with the Devil's the name of the book. Shake Hands with the Devil's the name of the film. Filmed actually in Rwanda with Rwandis acting it, unlike Hotel Rwanda, which was all filmed in South Africa with American South Africans playing Rwandis. And you can tell it's a Hollywood version because it doesn't really tell you what happened, why it happened, or to whom it happened, or who was responsible. But no one less than General Romeo Dallaire says, did we know about the genocide before it happened? Yes, we did. We had months warning. Could we have stopped it? Yes, we could. Should we have done more? Of course. Could we have saved lives? Yes, we should have. But the UN failed on every level there. And so
But on that, there was a report from the head of the UN or something like that, and he said that the world failed you.
Oh,
right?
Yes. So Kofi Annan, who at that time was head of the Security Council and therefore the boss of General Romeo Dallaire, and Romeo Dallaire documents how he forbade him to raid the warehouse where the million machetes, the pangas, which had been imported from Red China, were before they were being distributed to Interahamwe mobs. And he, General Romeo Dallaire, was planning as head of the UN peacekeeping force to raid this warehouse and get rid of these, take into custody these machetes before they were disseminated to the people who were going to massacre their Tutsi neighbors. And he was forbidden to do this by none other than Kofi Annan. And Kofi Annan interfered, undermined, made sure they didn't have what they needed, made sure they didn't have even spare ammunition, that they didn't have the support, the supplies, the food, the petrol, whatever it was that the general needed, he didn't get, and Kofi Annan was to blame. So General Kofi Annan wouldn't take responsibility until 10 years after the genocide, on the 10th anniversary, the people of Rwanda prevailed upon him to take responsibility, and he finally came out with, the world failed you. Not I failed you, not the UN failed you, not the Security Council failed you, the world failed you. So how's that for taking personal responsibility? So I know from first-hand experience in Sudan, in the Congo, in Rwanda, and in Angola, I've seen the UN can take a bad situation and make it much worse. So if people think the UN are like the man from UNCLE, I'm afraid they'll be a little confused and surprised by what we've got to say today.
Well, then let's look at the fact that abortion is being targeted in Africa. But why is this?
Okay, so this is this whole article that's come from the UN Commissioner on Human Rights and Special Rapporteur for Physical and Mental Health, this Teleng Mofokeng, who's the author of this unbelievable deception, newspeak, doublethink, abortion is healthcare, this makes it a human right. So the fact is, abortion is recognized throughout all of Africa, with the notable exception of South Africa, which is ruled by the ANC. This is the only country in Africa that actually legalized abortion. I think Tunisia might be the second. But aside from Tunisia and South Africa, the rest of Africa recognizes abortion as the taking of an innocent life. And so every abortion stops a beating heart. Abortion is the killing of an innocent human being. Abortion leaves one dead and one wounded. And all women who've had an abortion suffer from some severe psychological consequences. And the medical term for this is post-abortion syndrome, PAS. And according to the UN propagandist, though, this Teleng Mofokeng, in this article, Abortion is Healthcare, this UN propagandist states that all South Africa, all Africans should have access to legalized abortion. Every country in Africa, which is over 50 governments, are wrong to criminalize abortion. And she describes abortion as reproductive health and as a human right. And evidently unconcerned about the right to life of preborn babies, Mofokeng writes of dignity, bodily integrity, equality, safety and security, health, reproductive justice. I mean, these are quotes. Freedom to choose, and condemns pro-life legislation, which outlaws abortion throughout virtually every country in Africa, as oppression and discrimination and legalized discrimination and oppression of women. And Mofokeng singles out Malawi, Botswana, and Namibia for laws that seek to punish those who work in the abortion services. And so how's that for condemnation of pro-life countries in Africa, inverted reality, and making out that the killing of babies is healthcare and reproductive justice, and that trying to protect babies from the violence of abortion is oppression. And countries that are pro-life are now evil and oppressive and lacking justice. So this is real newspeak, doublethink, deception, inversion of reality.
But now, why is this the case? Why is it that the UN, a so-called peacekeeping organization, is pushing a rhetoric of abortion being healthcare, specifically in Africa?
Well, that's a good question. Why indeed? And one has to think that this has something to do with Bill Gates and Fauci and the New World Order, World Health Organization, which, let's face it, World Health Organization is one of the departments, a big department of the UN. And the UN's got a New World Order agenda. They've got a centralized agenda, and they've also got a vaccination, mandatory vaccination agenda. And they have pushed this pandemic lockdown very seriously. And they've required, on pain of, we will withdraw all of our financial aid to this or that country if you don't do the lockdown. So the UN's actually been a major player in this pandemic lockdown, which has put 3.5 billion people in the world under lockdown. So they don't seem to be so concerned about individual freedoms, individual rights. They don't think you should have the right to life. They don't think that a doctor should have the right to choose whether he wants to take part in abortion. They don't think a country's got the right to make laws in accordance with their culture and God's law to protect innocent people from, for example, murder in the form of abortion. So the UN's got a very top-down, totalitarian, centralized, you could say, secular humanism is their ideology, and therefore they are hostile to Christianity. I can quote a Sudanese pastor on this, because when I was working in Sudan, we tried to show the Jesus form on numerous occasions in refugee camps, and the United Nations shut us down every time. I've been evicted from UN refugee camps because I came in to distribute Bibles, gospel booklets, pray with people, show the Jesus form, and the UN forbade me, kicked me out. Whenever they discovered, they shut us down and booted us out and made statements like, this land belongs to the UN. I said, really? I thought this is Kingdom of Swaziland or Republic of South Sudan and so on. And we own this land and you have no right and get out of here. And I even had the UN say to me when they heard I had Bibles on my plane, you take off with Bibles, we'll blow you out of the sky. And so one Sudanese pastor actually said to me, it's not that the United Nations is against religion, they're just against Christianity.
Well, that is a reality. But now let's look at Mofokeng also ranting against US President Donald Trump with this global gag rule.
Oh, this is unreal. This is, talk about a rant against Trump. So Mofokeng goes berserk when she identifies the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. So that's PEPFAR, if you want to take the alphabet soup, the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. Notice the title, AIDS Relief, People Suffering from AIDS, which she says forces recipients to be contractually bound to abandon work related to abortion provision, abortion advocacy, abortion law reform, and abortion information dissemination. Now, wait a minute. This is a fund which is to help people suffering from AIDS, and she now rants on about how the developing world is still trying to, quote, recover from the damage done during the George W. Bush presidency to sexual and reproductive health rights and the provision of related services in public health systems. What she's talking about here is abortion. Because apparently donors should not have the right to stipulate that their funds that they are choosing to donate for a specific cause, in this case, healthcare, to be used to save lives, may not be used for killing babies. And apparently that's illegitimate. How dare they mandate that the money they've designated for healthcare can only be used for healthcare and not used for abortion. This is what she calls Trump's global gag rule.
But why is it a case that the UN would even be going against Donald Trump? Is that even in their domain or their jurisdiction?
Well, it shouldn't be, because, for example, the UN has quoted why they said I wasn't allowed to take Bibles into Sudan. They said, oh, we're just enforcing the laws of Sudan, which forbid Bibles to go into Sudan. I said, but the laws of Sudan at that time forbade alcohol, for example, because it was under Sharia law and no alcohol was allowed to go in. I said, but your UN planes are flying in hard liquor, whiskey and brandy and so on, for UN forces inside Sudan in violation of the Sudan government's laws too. And they said, well, that's different. So I know it's different. The Bible's actually going to save people's lives, unlike your brandy. But isn't it interesting? They want to enforce the laws selectively of a government that bans Bibles. That they must do. But if government doesn't allow alcohol or abortion, they don't obey that. But when it comes to America, they have no respect for any law that comes from President Trump. So while they say you've got to obey the law in China, respect the government of China, which is a one-party communist dictatorship, but when it comes to America, Donald Trump's evil, even though he got elected through the laws of America in a constitutional way, but they're slavish in supporting one-party dictatorships that persecute the church, but they are hysterical in ranting against President Donald Trump because he represents what they don't like. He represents nationalism as opposed to internationalism. He represents decentralization as opposed to globalism. And so, well, I mean, he's also saying things pro-Christian, prayer, Bible reading, things like this. So you can imagine the UN hates Donald Trump,
But now, what about the radical rhetorical rant against the right to life?
Yes, so this article, which, by the way, people can see if they go onto the christianaction.org.za website. On the christianaction.org.za website, they'll see the article, UN Attempts to Promote Abortion in Africa as a Healthcare Human Right, and it'll link to the actual article. So for muddying the waters and poisoning the well and weaponizing words and using toxic terminology, which we've been talking about over the last few weeks, but this is a great example. All of this is pretty hard to beat. Mofokeng's UN Newspeak doublethink really is hard to beat when it comes to weaponizing words and poisoning the well. So Mofokeng complains about the disconnection of abortion from primary health care and sexual and reproductive health when she condemns systemic anti-choice positions. Now, isn't that interesting? She is against anti-choice positions. So a pro-lifer is called anti-choice. This is very ironic because she's against choice being allowed for any conscientious objectors. Because ominously, this UN propagandist, Mofokeng, complains about South Africa's Choice on Termination of Pregnancy Act, called the Top Bill, 1996, where she alleges many women in South Africa are denied access to abortion services on the grounds of moral and religious beliefs and those of health providers. There are only a few practitioners and health facilities who provide abortion services in South Africa. So evidently, Mofokeng and the UN who finance her do not tolerate conscientious objectors on moral and religious grounds. And they want to criminalize those doctors and nurses and other health professionals, pharmacists and others, who don't want to pervert the healing profession by taking innocent lives through the violence of abortion. So isn't this interesting? They speak about governments being anti-choice, not allowing people to choose what to do as far as choosing an abortion. But now they want no choice for conscientious objectors who say, I'm a health professional, I'm a doctor, nurse, or pharmacist who's taken the Hippocratic Oath. I can't give an abortifacient to a woman. I can't do harm to one of my patients. And faced with a pregnant woman, I'm dealing with two patients. There's both a mother and there's a baby, and I've got to do good for both their health. I can't allow my healing profession to be perverted into taking of innocent life. I'm not a hired killer. You can't pay me to kill someone. No, I mean, that's not my job. And that's what health professionals have said for thousands of years. That's what the Hippocratic Oath says. I will do no harm to any patient. I will not give an abortifacient to a woman. I mean, that's part of the Hippocratic Oath. And yet, of which for thousands of years, every health professional had to swear to. And now, Mofokeng now wants to criminalize pro-life doctors, nurses, and pharmacists, and to be able to prosecute them, not just fire them, prosecute them. Do you know that they actually want a person who refuses to provide health care, by that they mean abortion to a patient, should be able to be charged with murder? I mean, for inverting reality, this is hard to beat. So the people who want to kill their baby should be allowed the right to choose. But the ones who don't want to be party to killing a baby, they shouldn't be allowed any choice. So hypocrisy of a high order.
But now, how do we stand up and how do we speak out for the right to life? It's quite a hot topic and definitely something that a lot of people are even scared to talk about in their family. It's probably similar to any time you speak about Trump, it's just like a hair trigger for controversy and anger. And I feel that there's a lot of people who feel this the same way. They feel that there should be a right to life, but they are scared to speak out. How do you deal with that?
The scripture's clear. Psalm 94, verse 16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will make a stand for me against the workers of iniquity? And so Mofokeng is urging his readers to achieve what the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals by removing all objections to what he calls sexual and reproductive health care, which is a euphemistic term for killing preborn babies. So it's absolutely vital that we speak up for those who cannot speak themselves, that we have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. So this is serious. What we're seeing here is not just a threat to the babies through abortion, obviously, but this is a threat to pro-life doctors, pro-life nurses and pharmacists, that there is a new concerted effort by the United Nations, no less, trying to stigmatize those countries like Botswana and Zambia and Namibia and Malawi that seek to protect the most innocent life of all from the violence and injustice of abortion. And they want to go so much further to criminalize those Christians and other pro-life doctors, nurses, let's face it, not just Christians are pro-life. There's many people from other religions, Muslim doctors, nurses, would also say, I don't want anything to do with abortion. And so this is more than a Christian concern. This is a concern across a wide range of people who conscientious objectors for many reasons saying, I don't want to be part of abortion. And here they complain that the bulk of people in South Africa don't want to be involved in abortion. The majority of doctors, nurses don't want even training in abortion. The majority of healthcare facilities across South Africa and hospitals are not willing to provide and have no one there willing to actually provide abortion services. And so they are wanting to criminalize everyone who wants to actually be pro-life. And this is just outrageous. And this shows that when they talk about pro-choice, they're not being pro-choice. Pro-choice is a lie. Babies don't choose to die. So obviously, we need to be informed. We need to be interceding. We need to be involved. We need to be informed. If you're not on the Christian Action emailing list, contact info@christianaction.org.za and ask to be put in the Christian Action email list. Get onto the website, www.christianaction.org.za, the website, and see what you can access. You can see this article and a whole lot of other great pro-life articles. There's some good videos and so on. There's the Life Chain coming up. The first Sunday of every October is International Life Chain Sunday. And so this year on the 4th of October on Sunday afternoon, there'll be a Life Chain Cape Town. There'll be a March for Life in Durban. And all over the world, there's thousands of venues that'll be doing some pro-life event. If you get onto the christianaction.org.za website, you'll see what's going on and find out in your area. And so we should make a stand. We need to speak up. We need to mobilize our church prayer fellowship, our home cell group, perhaps speak to other people that we know, friends, neighbors, health professionals, our personal doctor, our GP, general practitioner. And if we're involved in medicine ourselves, are you connected with the Healthcare Christian Fellowship, HCF? Are you linked with Doctors for Life? There's a lot of good groups that you can get in touch with. And if you go on the Christian Action website, you'll see links to these groups. So if you're a doctor who's pro-life, join up with Doctors for Life. If you're a nurse or doctor or pharmacist or healthcare professional in any hospital, medical facility, contact Healthcare Christian Fellowship, HCFI, Hospital Christian Fellowship International, and link up with a fellowship nearby with them. And get pro-life materials. There's good pro-life videos that you can show. There are good pro-life books that you can share. There's a Salt Shaker Christian Action starter pack on our Christian Action website, freely available that you can download. So there are good materials that you can get and use. It's so important that we speak up for those who can speak up for themselves and that we seek to rescue those being led away to death.
Well, thank you so much for your time. And if I can, I will end with this. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Psalm 94, verse 16. And I think this is a verse that we definitely need to apply to ourselves moving into this. We're not even moving into, it's a reality that we are in, this new speak, modern rhetoric of we are not allowed to voice our own opinion. We merely need to follow the mob rule. And I pray that you as individuals watching this would find more confidence to face this unfortunate reality that we have. Thank you so much for tuning in, and God bless.